God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. As we read 1 Corinthians 13, it's a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliot shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about woman's work. In the New Testament, we have a fairly full picture of what women in New Testament times were expected to do. In 1 Timothy 5:10, we find that they were responsible to have a faithful marriage, to be in charge of children, take care of children, to show hospitality, to wash the feet of God's people, and to support those in distress. Five things: faithful marriage, care of children, hospitality, washing the feet of God's people, and supporting those in distress. Now, modern women very often don't take a look into the New Testament to see what was expected of godly women back then. And of course, when I say modern women, I'm speaking of modern Christian women. We are very deeply influenced, aren't we, by everything that the world is telling us. And we have to be careful to test what the world says to us according to Scripture. Is it what God says, or is it what the world says that we are most interested in? And I'm most interested, as I hope you've gathered by now, in what God says. And that's the reason for the program Gateway to Joy. We want to give you clear, simple words from God's book. And when I think of a woman's work, I think of the fact that one characteristic of femininity is that we are nest builders. Now, it was not a male plot on the part of the birds that persuaded women that they had to be the nest builders. And I don't really know what I'm talking about here, because I suppose there are species of birds where the male either builds the nest all by himself or helps the woman build the nest. And I would certainly think of the building of houses as being men's work. But we're the ones who are supposed to make a house into a home. And parenthetically, can I tell you another one of my pet peeves? It really irritates me when I see real estate signs that say homes for sale. You can't sell a home. You can sell a house, but it takes a woman to make a house into a home. I had a beautiful Sheltie, a Shetland sheepdog, years ago. Her name was Tanya, and Tanya was mated with another beautiful Sheltie from down the road, and when it was close to her time for the puppies to be born, I put newspaper on the floor of the bathroom where Tanya always slept, and I put a large cardboard box there that she could easily get into. Well, Tanya spent days shredding the newspapers and putting them into the box. That just amazed me. Here was a dog who had never had puppies before. She had never been around another dog who had puppies, as far as I know, because I got her when she was a very young dog. She was a puppy. But she knew what was going to happen, and she knew that she had to build a nest for those puppies. And that's exactly what she did. When I lived in the jungle of Ecuador, I think I counted up about 11 different houses that I lived in. One or two of them were what you would call houses, real houses with board floors and walls. But most of the houses that I lived in were sort of like bird cages, just very light frameworks of bamboo or split palm with a thatched roof. But in every one of those houses, no matter how bleak and how full of bugs and cockroaches and vampire bats it might be, I managed to make a little place of order and peace. The very first jungle house that I lived in was a huge, big, old rambling house that had been built by a missionary man, and he and his family had lived there for a while, and then they had left the place empty, and the thatched roof was dropping all sorts of things, not just bugs, but worms, and we had spaces between the top of the wall and the roof into which vampire bats could fly. But in my own bedroom, I had a little stack of kerosene boxes that I used for a dresser. I covered the front, the open front, with a piece of pretty curtain material. And on the top, I put a linen towel, one of those old-fashioned linen towels that my mother had given me, that made a nice clean cover. And to me, that was sort of a nest. It was a cozy, quiet, clean, ordered place. Then, when Jim Elliot and I were first married, we lived for 5 months in a tent. It was a big tent, 16 by 16 feet, and it was a very leaky tent. And I'll tell you, I found it more difficult to make that place cozy than any other place that I ever lived. Then you can imagine my great joy when we finally got a house. It was a house on 8-foot stilts. It had a very wavy split-palm floor, so wavy that when you walked across it, the water in the glasses on the table would spill because the furniture went up and down. But that was a thrilling thing to me, finally, to have real walls and a real floor around me after spending 5 months in a tent. Then we moved to another house that Jim built in a place called Shandia, which was extremely civilized. We had cement floor, partly cement walls, part board, and aluminum roof. And then the time came when I moved into a little house with no walls at all, and no floors, and no furniture. But I liked that better than I liked the tent. In each place, there was comfort and warmth, there was order and peace, and it was a place to be. A home is a place to be. It's a place to have things. You can't have very many things when you live in a house with no walls and floors and furniture, but I didn't spend much time in that house. Don't get the wrong impression. Out of 11 years in Ecuador, I only spent 1 year in that house. In the other houses, I could have a certain amount of furniture. I could have books, pictures, flowers. Aren't those the things that make a house a home? When Amy Carmichael first began her missionary work, she was living in tents and traveling in bullock bandies, and she had no place to be, no place to call home. But when the Lord made her the mother of children, and she began to do a work for children rescued from Hindu temple worship practices, then she realized that children tie a mother's feet. She needed a place where they could be. And she wanted a place where they could have the things that had made her childhood so happy: pictures, music, flowers, and books. Luxury is relative, isn't it? The house that Jim finally got the Indians to build for us after we lived in the tent was extremely primitive. But to me, it was pure luxury compared to the tent. One of the things on this list that I read to you from 1 Timothy 5:10 is hospitality. Now, how can you show hospitality if you don't have a place to be? You have to have a place where you can keep dishes and pots and pans and sheets and towels. Very few of you, I suppose, are able to have a guest room, and even fewer a guest room with a guest bath. To me, that is a very great luxury. And I'm so glad that my husband and I are able to have that now. It's possible for some by sacrifice. You have to give up one room that you could very easily use. But if it is possible for you, I would suggest that you consider making the sacrifices that are necessary. I know that it's impossible for many. And yet, most of us can find some place where we can welcome a guest, even if it means that we have to move out of our own room. And I think of my friend Catherine Morgan in Colombia, who moved out of her room practically all the time. I don't know when she ever did sleep in her own room. I think of Marie Sandvik, a single woman in Minneapolis who, 50 years ago, she established a rescue mission in the slums of Minneapolis. And that mission is still going on. Marie Sandvik has always been a single woman, but she made a home. She made a home for all kinds of needy people. I think of my friend Van, Eleanor Vandevoort. She has a little house in which she welcomes students. So here are two single women who are doing woman's work by showing hospitality, by being nest builders. And you women who have husbands, you want to make your house a home for a husband to come home to, a place of quietness and order and discipline and peace. One of the greetings that's mentioned in the New Testament when you walk into a house is to say, "Peace be on this house." Well, it's much more difficult to have peace and order in your house if you're working outside, isn't it? It's impossible for you to be there all the time for those who need you. And my heart goes out to those of you who wish with all your hearts that you could do that. But so far, God has not shown you a way. Women, I believe, are meant to be caretakers or caregivers, as the word is now, nurturers, mothers. Marie Sandvik and Van, single women, but mothers, hardworking women, servants of all. And so my message to you is love God, walk with Him, live with Him, offer your work to Him, and do it for His honor and glory.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.